This is The Fix It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC. When it comes to home repairs, we could all use a guy. Well, we've got the guy and we've got the show. For all your home improvement questions, we've got answers. This is The Fix It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Signing Unlimited. Now, here's your host, Dayton Kane and David Nason.
Good morning. First Saturday of April and Easter tomorrow. Happy Easter to everybody out there.
Good morning.
Celebrating. Good morning, David. How are you? Easter.
Good.
Busy week.
Yeah, pretty busy week again. Yeah.
This is our time of year at Signing Unlimited where we're just swamped. I work a lot of hours in the spring. No exception this time. And now, with Kenosha being hit with that storm last night, I'm sure we're going to be getting a lot of calls on people needing roofing and siding. And not fun stuff. This weather has been
probably
crazy.
Probably some basement contractors, too.
Yeah, unfortunately. So a lot of rain last night, a lot of winds whipping through the area. So hopefully if your house was hit, you're tuning in for some advice, we can help out with any questions you might have. No guests this hour. Matt Hefter from
Certapro
on next hour. So this hour, wide open. We can talk about anything you like, including the Bucks that I went to last night. That game was miserable. Gosh. 133-101. We were never in the game from the beginning. It's brutal. I think it's time to start focusing on the Brewers for this time. And I did that Tuesday night, too, and they won.
Was that Saturday? Game.
Yep. So we got baseball.
Yes.
That's nice.
They seem to be doing well.
So what are your plans for Easter? Anything big?
Family stuff.
Big brunch
later
at the
today
house.
And then church and brunch tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. So
I'll be filling in for Libby tomorrow on Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. And then we've got about 15 people coming over for Easter brunch in the afternoon. So it's like the show.
Yeah.
Go to church.
Yeah.
Everybody at our house, so it's going to be a busy weekend for me.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of nice tomorrow. So, still rainy today, so.
Yeah, rain. We're going to talk a little bit about rain.
Go away,
you know, and as I do. So last week we looked up things that we should have done for our house in March.
Mm-hmm.
What was at the top of the list? Gutters and downspouts.
Right.
So I looked up. We're in April. What should we do for April? Guess what's there?
Gutters and downspouts.
Yes, every month, check
grading
your
gutters and downspouts. A little tough to do something with grading when it's this wet.
Yeah,
and everything,
for sure.
You can definitely make sure you're. If it's raining or something, you can't get up on your roof to clean your gutters, and you shouldn't get on your roof, but get on a ladder safely. At least make sure your downspouts are attached and connected and draining away from your house.
Right.
That's something
and
you
clear.
Can go out.
So I was at a customer's house yesterday, and she took her she kicked the extension as we were walking around the house. So she grabbed it, and the whole downspout was full of leaves.
Yeah.
Like she just was pulling leaves out. And I'm like, gosh, that's good thing you're doing that now because the rain's coming.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Get them cleared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But also, you know, make a note. If you do have some standing water around your house or if it's kind of draining back towards your house or something, make a note. Take pictures because when we do get into some drier time here, you need to go back, look at those pictures and say, oh, that's what I need to fix. I need to get those low areas fixed. Rake back any mulch that you have there, whether it's a wood mulch or rocks or something. Rake that back. Get some dirt in there. And then, you know, like a brown dirt, a brown sifted dirt, not topsoil, not clay. You know, something, a good brown dirt that can compact a little bit. And you want to get that sloped away from your house. Then you can put your mulch back.
855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. When we come back, I want to talk about what this amount of rain and water that we've been having can do to things around your house. So we'll get into that and your questions if you send them in. It is The Fix It Show on WTMJ.
The Fix It Show with Dayton Kane and David Nason on WTMJ.
Thank you for joining us today, Easter Sunday weekend. Welcome to a Saturday morning, still wet and soggy out there. So let's talk about extended periods of rain and what this can do to our properties, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk foundation. I know we had Chris Mancuso on last week from Accurate Basement Repair, but when the ground is this saturated for this long, it's putting extra pressure on the house, right? Because
it's
heavier, that water's consistently sitting there. This is the time to take the flashlight downstairs, look for cracks, look for discoloration. Yeah. Look for things happening that maybe you've never seen before on the house. Are the cracks that you've had getting bigger because they've just been underwater with this pressure for so long? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that we should be checking. If you're getting, I mean, it's nothing to freak out about, but it's something to be cognizant about. And if it is changing, you're seeing things happen, definitely time to start looking at where the water's going around right. your house.
Yeah. If you have clay soil around the house, your house, and a lot of areas around here have clay soil, clay is an expansive soil. So when it gets wet, it expands. When it freezes, it expands more. So that can, but there are times, there are some people probably listening that know when it's wet, the cracks in their basement, especially the horizontal cracks, get a little larger. They open up a little bit more. And then we get into late summer, fall, where it dries out a little bit more, and the cracks get a little smaller.
Yeah.
So, you know, is there a major concern with that? No. It'd probably be a good idea to have your walls braced. You know, not this time of the year, but when we get into the drier portion, when the walls, so that as that soil shrinks again, now it's going to actually suck that wall back and pull it back. And so that would be the time to go and have braces installed.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a feeling, I think, because sometimes people, oh, I got braces. Somebody, they see braces on my walls. They think my house has a problem. On the contrary, if you have braces installed and if you have them correctly done by a contractor who's a WAF rep member, the Wisconsin Association of Foundation Professionals, Accurate, the Mud Jackers, companies like that, the Gatish Foundation. If you have them done right, to me as a home inspector, when I go to see that, it's like, oh, they fixed this. That wall is now stronger than it was before.
Right.
So yeah, water, moisture coming through the walls, stains on the walls, that, and depending where it is, I mean, that's almost always telling us that you've got a grading and drainage issue. So we've talked about that. Fix that. But cracks can mean other things, and kind of depends where the cracks are. And vertical cracks aren't as serious, because that just means usually the house settled just a little bit, unless they're in corners. I mean, so I don't want to say if you have a vertical crack, oh, don't worry about it. It really kind of depends where it is and if there's any other damage along with it. So, but horizontal cracks are almost always a problem. A
couple things you can look for too. When it's raining outside, I know nobody wants to go outside when it's raining. Definitely
grab an umbrella.
Not when it's lightning right. out, but when it's raining,
right.
pretty decent. Take an umbrella, walk around the house, see where things are coming. Where's the water coming off the roof? Is it going over the gutters?
Yeah.
Is it going in the gutters? Once it goes in the gutters, where is it going? Right. Is it coming out the downspout?
Do you have underground drains that are maybe, if you look at where the connection goes underground, is there water bubbling up out of the seams right there?
Yeah.
That means your underground drain, wherever it goes, is clogged and backing up.
Yeah.
You got to look for things like that too.
Kind of like your heart, right? If you go into the doctor and you get a heart monitor on and nothing's happening to your heart, you're like, but no, when I do something really hard, I go into AFib or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it's working, when things are happening,
right.
that's the best time to check it and make sure that it's actually doing what it's supposed to
yeah.
do. So
I agree.
If you see now, vinyl siding has weep holes in it.
Right. Yeah.
So you may not know this. Vinyl siding isn't a water barrier.
Yeah.
Water gets behind
vinyl.
It sheds
vinyl. Water.
It sheds water, but it can get behind there because of the J channels and where things meet.
It will get behind it.
So do you have excessive amounts of water coming out from a certain area behind your siding? That's a sign it's coming in somewhere.
Somewhere else.
Where can we get that to see what's above it, what's around it? Where would that water be coming in behind
that? Is there a flash emission somewhere? Is there roofs and walls come together? Is there a kick-out flashing missing there? Flashing over the heads of windows. Is there a space, a clearance to siding and windows or other horizontal surfaces? Those are all, a general wall, a flat wall, doesn't leak so much,
right.
really. It's where you have holes in them, where you have connections and penetrations. That makes sense.
Same with your roof, right? You just have a flat
absolutely.
Roof and nothing coming out of it and nothing meeting anywhere.
Right. It's where all the connections with other things are. Those are all the details that have to be done correctly.
If you listen to the Fix-It Show, you probably know your home's your biggest investment probably that you have. You want to take care of it. You want to make sure it's good. But for those people that don't listen to this show, and you're looking at their house, their family members, and you're like, what's going on here? Point some stuff out to them. Don't be rude about it. But hey, I'm noticing that there's this extra water coming off over the top of your gutters over here when I'm walking up to your house to pick up, the kids or whatever.
Right.
Just do a search for people and be that person that kindly suggest, hey, you may want to look at that.
Right.
David does it all the time when he goes to friends' houses.
I do. Well, no.
Connie tries to tell you not to.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, don't say anything. And, but, you know, it depends on what it is. I mean, if you're a friend of mine and I come to your house and I see something, I might, you know, maybe we'll go over, hey, come over here. I want to tell you something, especially if you know it could,
it could cause long-term damage.
Absolutely.
Right?
I want to be helpful. Yeah. You know, that's my point. Hey, you should have this looked at because this might be a problem.
855-616-1620. If you have questions, no guest on. People are texting in, why is the station not on this morning? So if you're listening to us, that means you're either on the FM or you're streaming us.
Right.
Because right now we're having some issues with the AM. So we're getting lots of texts. It'll come back up. That's what weather does to things. It messes it up. So it is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
WTMJ's The Fix-It Show with David Nason and Dayton Kane.
Thank you for joining us. Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, flood warning through tomorrow. Cloudy, windy, chance of some more showers today. A high of 54. So rain still coming down out there. Be ready for it. And David from Menominee Falls talked to us last week, and he texted in about his crock and his sump pump. It's sealed because of the radon system. Yeah. And he's wondering, will that keep the water down?
Most houses, new houses being built today, even if they don't have a radon system, the crock is sealed down.
To keep the radon level
just
down.
That's just the way it's done.
So he's asking, could he put a hose bib on top of the crock with a hose then that goes out to his drain where he could open that up if the water level starts rising and still keep his radon system secure the rest of the time?
Yeah.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this. I want to know your opinion.
So I understand what he's trying to do.
You got to be able to close
the hose bib, the faucet, so that you can keep it sealed for the radon system.
Which is why he's doing it.
But I could see that, you know, if there's pressure, water pressure filling up in the crock, you go, and if you have a hose that you can run to the floor drain,
open that up, open the crock,
you know, the water would go in there. Yeah. I mean, that could work.
I guess if you're at that point in your system
where
your pump isn't working and that crock is all the way up, I think there's more issues going on there than you're going to be able to solve.
Well, it's the power issue probably.
Yeah.
So maybe you just need a generator.
I mean, that's what I have if I...
But we were talking about that. I mean, he wants to put that hose there to drain water.
Yeah, right.
You know, if the pressure backs up. And what we're talking about is... And I suggest this a lot, is that crock cover should have some kind of resealable port, access port in it. And I've seen some radon companies, when they put the cover on, they'll put a port in there. You can go to a big box store, a hardware store, and buy this, it's a 4-inch PVC DWV fitting.
Okay.
And basically, if you can get a 4-inch hole saw where, you know, you attach it to your drill, to just drill a hole 4 inches diameter in that cover, whether it's clear plastic or black plastic, whatever the cover is, and then just cut the hole in nicely and then put that fitting in there and caulk it in place. And now the fitting has, the reason by putting this fitting in, it's one of these, it's got like a big nut on it that you can either turn by hand or put a pipe wrench on it and unscrew it. And then you could, it's big enough, most people, unless you're Popeye, you should be able to fit your forearm in there. And you can either lift the float and, you know, of the pump, or better yet, be able to pour water in the crock. Get some buckets of water or a hose and run water into the crock. Because just lifting the float, sometimes if there's not enough water in there, just lifting the float, it triggers the pump to work. But I think the better way to test it is filling it with water and make the pump work like it's supposed to.
Actually push water out.
Yeah, and actually trigger when water fills it, not just by lifting the float. So
on the outside, so I've got my sump pump there. Yeah. It discharges out into my yard.
Mm-hmm.
How far out from the house should that go?
Well, I think it depends on the grading and drainage around your house. So we talk about downspouts should go somewhere 4 to 6 feet. Same concept. If your grading is good around it, that's all the further it needs to go. I see sometimes these black corrugated hoses that go 20 feet or something.
Yeah.
Maybe you got a pretty flat yard and you really got to get it. Or if you don't want the water right in your yard or something because it gets wet and squishy or something. You want to get a little further. But really, 6 feet or so away from your house, if it's running a lot, then you probably, you know, maybe consider putting it underground to a ditch or something.
Yeah.
But then if you do that, you want to have a fitting up by the house that you can, similar type fitting, what I was just describing, so that in the winter you can unscrew a fitting and the water can just go right onto the ground. Because if you're, unless you're burying that discharge pipe 4 feet under the ground below the frost line, it's going to freeze.
Yeah, during the winter.
Yeah.
Good stuff. 855-616-1620. If you have questions, that's the Siding Unlimited. WTMJ talk and text line. We're going to take a break from the Fix-It Show. Go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center with Tiff Poole. Good morning, Tiff.
Good morning, Dayton.
More of your questions next. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Thank you for joining us. Dayton and David with you. Easter weekend here. Bucks Grizzlies tomorrow, 2:30 tip-off at Fiserv. They lost 133-101 last night in a brutal game. It was fun to watch them run around like it looked like the Bad News Bear. I feel really bad. But the Celtics are a really good team.
Sure.
And we are not right now, and it just showed. It just showed. But it was fun going to the game. It's always fun, all the activities and things to do when you're at Fiserv. And the couple we went with had never been there before.
Oh, okay.
So it was neat for them to experience it and see a Bucks game at the Fiserv.
Sure.
So we do have a caller. Let's go to her. Hello, good morning. What's your question?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. It's Sarah. What I'm asking about this morning is my roof was all redone with plywood sheeting and that on the outside. And it's a 1910 house, 2.5 stories. On the inside now, there's no attic. It's a 2.5 story. And I'm wanting to reinforce the rafter joints for strong winds and tornadoes. Simpson, a manufacturer of metal plates, only specifies for 2 stories, not for a 3-story house. And I'm wondering, how do I figure out all the metal plating to put at the joints in a gambrel roof to tie the roof to the walls, the structure, the 2x4s? What's your thinking on that?
When did you say the house was built?
Before 1910, 1908, 1910. So yeah. It's got the true 2x4 rafters.
Right. Yeah, old growth lumber. So it's much stronger than what it was being used in homes today. That kind of bracing, hurricane straps, they call them today. The reason they call them hurricane straps is because that code requirement came from, Florida, Miami-Dade County, in order to, that they developed that after Hurricane Andrew, I think, 92 or so, when everybody's roof just blew off their house. And so, that is done in construction today. That is done in the rough framing stage before any drywall is installed. So that's your house. Your roof needs to be tied down to the foundation. So there's straps from the trusses or rafters to the top of the wall, and then the wall is strapped down to the floor, to the footing, and everything. So basically, we're trying to keep we don't want Dorothy flying through the air to Oz anymore.
And this was in the UDC since June 1st, 1980.
So our UDC, the Uniform Dwelling Code in Wisconsin, was actually adopted on June 1st, 1980.
So that's when it
went into effect.
I
think it's probably relatively difficult to add it to an existing home, to even climb up into an attic.
If I may pause you, what I should have explained is I have no attic, and I'm stripping the structure back on that 2.5 story to properly insulate it, and then put a super poly and drywall on top of it. So I'm taking it back to the rafters anyway. I got to do that for the insulation. So sorry, I should have said.
Yeah. Where about do you live? What city area?
Calling through from the Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. I'm not sure this would be something that you'd have to weigh the cost and benefit for. Is that I think we've had a tornado in Milwaukee. It's like 20 some years ago. There's one that came through on the south side. What I'm getting at is when was the last time we had a tornado in your area, and what's the cost to do this, and is it necessary?
Well, one of the comments made is that it's a 1910 house, so all the nails in the structure has loosened up, so there's that. And for some reason, the area that I'm in, there's some kind of microbursts that come up, and the wind can be really strong, and there's that. Yeah. And then the third thing, the weather's changing. And since I've got it open, and since metal plates don't cost a lot of money, why not do it kind of thing? Like, it's time-intensive, it's not really money-intensive, and it's all going to be open, and it's sure. 1910, 115 years old. That's the kind of logic. And microbursts yeah. in the area where the wind gets really strong with the north wind.
Yeah. It definitely can't hurt. Now, yeah. if you're asking how much you need and how what size and all that, that yeah. would be more of a structural engineer question. Well,
that or there's tables in our code that contractors can look up
okay.
and
yeah.
things. Or that product is probably made by Simpson. Simpson is probably
right. Simpson Strong Tie. Yeah. Got it.
Yep.
Got
yeah.
it.
You can look up their
Simpson
website.
Simpson Strong Tie. That's what I was looking at. He does fabulous things for up to two stories and has right. must have every plate metal plate on the planet.
Right.
You both are very good, careful listeners. And the one question was that, which you've answered, which is go look up the tables. Thank you on that.
Yeah.
But then is there anything else I should be aware of, given that it's going to be opened up and I'm going to be putting in almost like a drop ceiling to get extra insulation in because I've got thermal breaks at the joints in the gambrel roof. I've got thermal breaks there, so I'm also addressing that problem at the same time that I'm also tying the roof structure into yeah. the rest of the structure of the house.
I would say from the insulation standpoint is make sure when you're insulating, but make sure they're doing air sealing as well. If you don't have an attic and you're insulating areas,
correct.
You don't want air getting into those areas, so you want to make sure they seal up. So you either have to have a vented attic or roof or an unvented attic or roof. So, and if you don't have access to these areas, I think the better option is an unvented area. And so you stop okay, all so air from getting in there.
Yeah. Please excuse me. I should have explained. The roof is vented. I have inline air intake. I have air vent. I have okay. air vent inline venting
okay.
in the roof, put in the roof.
All right.
So that sounds like you have a good plan going,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah, then make sure that that's working. You got proper yeah. ventilation down low so that the air can escape up high. So that sometimes happens where we see the vents up on the top of the roof, but there's no soffit
correct.
Vents. Older
yeah.
houses, they just have the overhang with the like exposed rafter ends and no soffits, soffit vents,
okay.
but there's a ridge vent up top.
Okay.
You know, how's that work?
If I may make a cheeky comment, I fought for a metal ridge vent. I didn't get it. I ended up with sealed slant backs.
Okay.
So sealed slant backs, they're kind of doing it, and I couldn't win the argument with the roofers. I ended up with sealed slant backs that, well, they're doing it. Yeah, sealed
okay.
slant backs.
Okay.
So
yeah, no, it sounds like
but
you've got
I
the
may,
plan in place.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, okay, so just tie it in that way, go back to the tables in
yeah,
there, and
yeah.
that'll tell me, and then I can figure out from Simpson Strong Tie which ones I would need to really tie those joints together, and I plan on screwing them back in, and then
yeah.
I also plan on screwing the joints back in and doing that.
Yeah.
That is really big help.
Yeah,
am I out of time and I'll call in another week?
Make sure they use the right fasteners. So Simpson, whatever plate or everything that you're going to use, is going to talk about the fasteners that are used, the proper nails or such. So make sure that those are
okay.
used. Yeah.
Yeah, we do have to get
okay,
to break.
Okay.
If you
thank,
want to hang
thank,
on
thank
the line, you have one more question. You said if you want to hang on the line,
if
we'll
I
answer
may.
It. So
yeah,
we'll,
no,
we do need to take a break. It is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Need advice? Call 855-616-1620. Our expert home inspector is here to help. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Thank you for tuning in. Dayton Kane and David Nason with you. So interesting time of year because I was looking at, again, what can we do in March? What does wet weather do mm-hmm. to our houses, et cetera, et cetera? And one thing that came up that I don't know if we've ever talked about is termites. Do you run across termite damage often? Because it says Milwaukee is, they're here. Like this area gets them.
There are pockets of them
okay.
in our area. So for the longest time, if you were buying a home and you had a VA loan, around here you weren't required to have a termite inspection. Down south, the VA always required a termite inspection.
Sure.
Well, now they've changed that. It was probably 2 years ago. They changed everywhere in the United States. They require a termite inspection.
And what is that a pest control company coming in and looking? And
you can. I know some of our inspectors, the WAHI inspectors, have gone out and gotten it. You can go through a little bit of training and get certified to do it. I haven't, because I think out of 25 or 50 inspections that I do, I get asked for it once.
Sure.
So it's not something that I just have
done.
So
it's not prevalent in this area. It's possible in this area, but not
prevalent. There are pockets of them, but not. It's not widespread. So it's just too cold for them, really.
Here's some things. So it's the eastern
subterranean.
Subterranean termites.
Yeah.
They say look for mud tubes.
Yeah.
Mud tubes. Where would that be? On the outside of the house?
No, inside. So termites go after solid, good wood.
Okay.
They drill holes. They damage.
Wet wood?
Carpenter ants. Ants are lazy.
Okay.
So if you have rotting wood, rotting trim, or rotting joists, or, you know, where the, if your siding's buried in the ground, sure, kind of in the rim joists are rotting and everything, that's where carpenter ants are going to go.
Okay.
They're just going to go and, you know, it's soft. It's easy for them. Termites go for the heart.
Does an average pest control spray take care of that, or is that above and beyond?
Good question. I'm not 100% sure. Hmm.
Okay, so sagging floors is another thing it mentioned. So they just have eaten the wood enough
Probably where we see the most prevalent is really old homes, farm homes kind of thing, where the basement or crawl space was dirt. Okay. It was a dirt floor, or it had a really shallow crawl space, so there was ground and everything. In a typical basement, you know, if you have the proper clearances outside, you're not going to say that. I love my old house. I talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
My house is about 30 inches or so out of the ground. So from the ground to where my siding starts, it's concrete. I have a poured basement.
Okay.
And it's just got a kind of a stucco appearance on the outside. That really helps. I don't get mice in my basement because
it's too high.
They're not climbing up that and everything. They're finding somewhere easier to get.
Wonder why they don't build more houses like that then.
Yeah. Well, no, but I also have 4 steps to get up into my house.
Oh.
A lot of people don't like that, right?
The
walk up, you know, a bungalow or Cape Cod kind of look. That's not common. Everybody just wants 1 step into their house.
All right. We need to take a break. We went a little long on the last one with Sarah there, but one more segment left before we're joined by Matt Hefter from CertaPro Painters. Thanks for listening to the Fix It Show this morning.
David Nason and Dayton Kane. It's the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
Siding Unlimited and JMB Construction sponsor us each week. Thank you to them for doing that. You can always watch the show streaming live on YouTube, WTMJ.com, and the WTMJ mobile app. So if you're watching, hello, we appreciate that. So let's talk about an inspection you did this week. You did an old farmhouse, right?
Yes.
Which may have some things in it that normal houses don't.
Not conventional.
So what did you find?
Yeah. There was a cistern in the basement.
Okay.
Everybody knows what a cistern is. That would have been something in the basement. Usually it's concrete, poured concrete, because stone walls wouldn't hold the water in. And it's basically just a big tub to hold water. And it would have been filled from a downspout off your roof.
Okay. And what was the point of this, the purpose of it?
They used the water for basically anything other than drinking.
Okay.
Drinking or cooking. So cleaning clothes, running it through the plumbing, if you could, you know, pump it in somewhere into the house. So a lot of houses have them. I have one in my basement. Mine's dry. Every once in a while, I'll see one that still gets some water in it. That means the pipe or whatever that was used to fill where the downspout on the outside, and it's not sealed, you know, completely.
Okay.
I had to seal mine off. Mine did have some water when I first bought my house. And I had to seal that off, dig down on the outside of the house about a foot below grade, and put some what do they call it? Hydraulic cement.
Okay.
That's a type of cement that you can, even if in the wet condition, you can put it on and it'll still cure. So that was pretty cool. The attic, you know, was you can see all the framing, the old roof boards, and you can tell that the roof had cedar shakes on it originally because the large gaps between the roof boards. Almost no insulation in the attic. So that's fairly typical with really old houses. The electrical had been updated. In that, I saw a really old big diesel engine in the garage being used as a generator.
Really?
Yeah, running off of like recycled oil as a fuel, diesel fuel.
Wow. So he was ready for
it. It was a little interesting.
Yeah, but yeah. If like the apocalypse happened, this guy had it all going, he could have made it work.
Probably could have. Yeah. So, and then I saw a few condos this week, kind of typical, and then a nice house out in Jefferson County. So,
okay.
And then. So. Typical, some of my consulting work that I'm doing where people are having problems with.
One thing that I saw that everybody needs to be aware of, if you haven't looked at your insurance policy lately, you need to do so, because if you think your roof is fully covered in case of hail or wind or storms, you may not be right.
Yeah.
They have changed policies tremendously over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Companies have added addendums to things and, amortization scales where your roof is only partially covered as years go on, and it gets smaller and smaller as the years go on. They're not covering three tab roofs anymore on a lot of things. You need an architectural shingle. So if you haven't looked at your insurance policy on your home lately, you should read through it.
Yeah.
Know what you have. Know that if you get siding damage on your house, more than likely, you are not getting your whole house siding replaced.
Right.
You're getting that wall or even maybe that section fixed.
Yeah.
At certain points. So there are upgrades you can do to your insurance to cover that stuff if you want, but it's usually extra. And you probably, if you have just a basic policy with your company, don't have the coverage you might think you
have.
Talk
to your agent. Ask questions.
It's not like it was 10 years ago.
Have a good understanding. Yeah.
It's really changed a lot, and people are running into it. The more people I talk to, the more they're getting frustrated with their insurance policies. Mm-hmm. Not to throw insurance companies under the bus. They're doing what they have to do to survive with all the changing weather we've been having and the amount of damage that is happening. But just know what you know. You need to know what you know. Because if you don't know, it'll bite you when it comes
time
to...
Know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Know what you don't know, so then you know
what you know.
Well, what you know, what you want to know, what you need to know.
Okay, that's the advice you get when you come to this show. We appreciate you guys listening. We are going to take a break. That does it for the first hour. Coming up, Matt Hefter from CertaPro Painters, and we'll check into the WTMJ News Center one more time.
This has been the Fix It Show on WTMJ, presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.